collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Can you shut the fuck up for 30 seconds? You might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Food Pod, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your mise en place. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's a dream. Here is 14 here on a Thursday. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope your summer's going good. Your midsummer night's dream. What am I quoting Shakespeare on this fucking show? What is that about? That's crazy talk. It's your boy Chef Plum sitting here flying solo for a little bit. Chef Jeffy had to work a little bit later tonight than normal, but he's on the way. He'll be joining us here in a little while tonight. Got a really fun show for you. One of our favorite chefs, Chef Maria Grubb, is going to join us in the program in a little bit. Super talented. She's got some great stories, man, so I'm excited to have her on the program with us here in a while. Should be fun to get her stories and find out. You know, listen, she's cooked through hurricanes, so what's better than that? I mean, well, probably anything, to be honest with you, because cooking through a hurricane sounds like it would fucking be terrible, but that's what she's done. But I would be remiss, because I can't do it anymore, you guys. I can't sit here and do these podcasts alone. That's bullshit. I totally can. Actually, I've been doing a bunch of stuff for the NPR show solo, so I've been talking a lot today. But the good news is, I'm hoping to have a wonderful guest host for the rest of the show, and he'll hang out too when Jeffy gets there. Join me shortly. So, is there smoke? Where's the smoke? Oh, what the? Is that confetti falling from the ceiling? What the? Pyro? Is that fire explosives? Oh my god! My god!
You know who it is?
My god! It's the food porn unicorn Dave Sirotsky coming in here hot. Holy shit!
You know who it is.
There he is. FPU coming at you. You know he ain't playing no games. He's coming in hot. That motherfucker's on fire.
I got a zip line set up in the house just to bring me into this song.
Yeah, that's right. He didn't open the window first. That was the bad part. I thought it was confetti. It was shards of glass flying into my face.
That's fun.
Not good. Not good at all. What's up, brother? How are you, man?
What's going on, Plum? Awesome to be here. Awesome to be here. How is everything?
Man, we're doing good, brother. We're doing good. I'm not in the Hamptons right now. I'm at my own house. I had an extra day off, so I figured I would, you know, just sit here at the house and do the show kind of old school style. Jeffy's not in front of me, so it's just me, you know?
Just you. That's you.
And now you.
Jeffy doesn't know this, but you're like the Johnny Carson, and I'm about to make him the David Letterman to my Jay Leno, sliding right in.
Wow. That's not a good thing. Holy shit. Do you remember that made-for-TV movie they made about that?
I do. Yeah. The Late Shift, right?
Late Shift. Yeah, that's right. I watched like four times.
It was a movie.
That was a good movie.
Dude, that movie was crazy, and it was supposed to be like super accurate, right?
Yeah, I think it was. Are you a late-night talk show? Are you a late-night guy? You like it?
Letterman.
You're a Letterman guy?
Yeah, I was a big Letterman guy.
What about now? What about, like, you know, with Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel, and what about those shows? You dig those at all?
With Fallon, I was a big Conan guy for a little while, and then he went, kind of just lost interest.
You know, I've lost interest myself for a long time, but I think Jimmy Fallon's killing it these days, man.
See, now Fallon's got that thing. Fallon's supposed to be like a big party guy drinker, right?
Yeah, it's great.
And nobody likes laughing at themselves more than Jimmy Fallon, which I enjoy.
That's true. And his wife is pretty cute, too.
Very true. Very true. Is she coming on the pod or what?
She's a little busy right now, so I hope to have her on next week.
That was very.
Nah, I guess that could have come across weird. I didn't mean like that. I just meant like she's busy.
Lining it up.
That's it. Well, listen, man, we're excited to have you hanging out and sitting in with us for a little bit, man. It should be fun. Jeffy will join us in a little while. But Listen, how does it feel, man? Because ever since, you know, we kind of became friends and you've talked to a lot of chefs. And I know you knew a lot of chefs ahead of time. But, like, as a guy who's not a chef that does a whole Instagram page about food, when you meet these chefs, does it feel weird to you? Do you feel – you definitely shouldn't. But do you feel like, yeah, I don't know, like I don't know what the word I'm looking for. I don't want to say inadequate. But, like, do you feel like you're not on the level to talk food with them?
No, I'm totally a pretender. I'm just happy to be here. I think this is absolutely awesome. I've loved meeting fucking everybody that I've met through you guys. So it's been absolutely super cool. No, not really inadequate, but just like, you know, kind of just like Wayne's World. Like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy just bowing down the whole time. Like, you guys are just so awesome, so talented at everything. And, you know, I'm just sitting here taking pictures in front of my slider. So that's the difference.
And the pictures are gorgeous, though, and the food looks great. You can find him at Dave Shirotsky on Instagram. Check him out there. If you type in food porn unicorn, it comes up. Did you know that?
I did.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's great stuff, man. I'm happy for you. And you had an anniversary recently, and hopefully you have 10 more anniversaries. That's what I'm looking forward to, because I want to come do a live an Instagram live with you.
How sweet would that be?
I just want to cut promos. That's all I want to do. That's why I loved you, because you were cutting promos. It's fantastic.
You just need to get busted up and just talking shit into the camera.
Yeah. Well, here's the best part we got right now, because Jeffy's not here. So that means we can talk a little wrestling.
Let's do that.
Let's do that.
I know Jeffy holds you back on this.
He does. He does, for sure. Let me tell you something. Here's the thing about Jeffy. He understands the pro wrestling. Like, he gets it. He gets the jargon. He gets the whole gimmick. He gets everything. He just doesn't like it. And so we get into pro wrestling, and he just kind of that's what happens to Jeffy. He falls asleep.
He just zones out. Now, did he, like, never get into it, or, like, was he late to the game, or what?
Listen, I can't wait till later on. I'm going to have him do his Ultimate Warrior impression for you. It's hysterical.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. It's hysterical. Well, listen, we got to talk about, though. I mean, they just had a pay-per-view this past Sunday, and poor Rey Mysterio lost an eye. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. He lost an eye.
See it? It's growing up.
It's the worst thing ever. I mean, literally, I didn't think it would happen, but the poor guy, Rey Mysterio, has been wrestling forever. Amazing wrestler, smaller individual, but really talented guy. Just a shame he has to lose an eye. Now, here's the thing, Dave. It was an eye for an eye match, so someone had to lose an eye in order for there to be a winner, but I still hate it for it to be Ray.
Oh, but would you rather it be Seth?
Yeah, Seth's a terrible human being. We don't like Seth. We like to boo the bad guys and cheer the good guys.
But at least with Ray, he's wearing the mask. Like, you just cover it up and he's good to go. Like a little pirate patch. He's back in the game.
That's true.
I don't think Seth could pull it off.
Listen, it's just sad when you see things like this happen in pro wrestling, much like when Vince McMahon got blown up in the car. That was super sad, too.
Wow. Wow, do you remember that?
Yeah, it was sad.
And then
I sold all my stock, my WWE stock. I was like, this company's done. The company's done. And then fucking couple days later, goddamn miracle, he's alive.
Thanks to Chris Benoit.
Well, Joe, God, that was terrible. Listen,
fuck, saving the day.
He did. Kind of. One last go around.
One of those functional wishes where, like, you make a bad wish and, you know, like, something fucked up has to happen in order for it to turn right. That's what it was. We need Vince to come back. All right, the monkey paw went down, lost a finger, and then all of a sudden Chris Benoit kills his family and Vince is alive, and it's like, ugh, thanks.
You know what I think the funniest thing about that whole gimmick was is that they had they'd announced for a couple of times. They were like, the FBI is conducting an investigation. And then the FBI sends them a letter and says, hey, stop saying FBI. We're not – they had to put a press release out. They're like, we're not associated with this. And then
people legit calling the cops and everything?
Oh, yeah. Well, then they came out like, no, it's not the FBI. It's the FIB. It's the Federal Investigation Bureau. It's not the Federal Bureau of Investigations. You guys heard us wrong.
Word.
It cracked me up, man. I don't know. Pro wrestling's the best. Life is pro wrestling, brother.
Remember that angle they were going to go with, though? They were going to have, like, Vince McMahon's secret brother come in and run the company, and all this shit was going to go down?
I do. Oh, my God. Fucking the best.
What could have been?
Wrestling's the best. We should get into wrestling. I know I'm a little older, but and you're in great shape, so maybe I could be your manager.
Let's do that. Or we could switch it. I'm expected to go the other way. You're going to be the star, and I'll be the manager.
Yeah, but you're in better shape than I am. I've lost about 20 pounds, but still, you do 900 Ks and things like that.
Well, that, I know you're just right behind me. Mm.
That's true. This Adonis-like figure. You know, I did spend some time in the pro wrestling world. I was a pro wrestler. Have we ever talked about this?
Yeah, dude, you were hitting the ropes and everything.
I was the chef in pro wrestling in Virginia, Solid Gold Pro Wrestling. My finishing move was called the main course.
What was it?
Well, I'd give the kick to the gut. I'd signal like check, please. I would then turn. I would pick somebody up like for a body slam, but I would put their legs would be down my back, their waist is on my shoulder on my right arm, and then I would take my left arm and I would grab around their head, which is hanging down the side of my body, and I would drop straight down. It's actually a Japanese move called an Emerald Fusion, but it looked really great when I did it. We called it the main course.
See, how do you protect somebody on that?
It doesn't even hurt. Like it looks bad when I do it, but I cover their head the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't. Their head doesn't even hit. They land basically on the back of their shoulders.
So you're taking most of that, right?
Yeah. And when they land, they basically bend their head forward, like chin to chest, and they're going down on their shoulders.
You know, did you have the whole gimmick? Like, how were you going to the ring?
Oh my God, brother! I had check pants. I had a white chef coat. I'd come out, and then I would carry like a. At first, they wanted me to be a heel and carry like a spatula and tongs and use it as the foreign object. But the two shows we got to do were a lot of my friends there, so I was immediately the babyface.
That's a heel. I think that begs to be a heel.
I think so too. Well, here's the best part. So there was a big plan. This is a long story. We got to get to Chef Maria here. I know she's sitting on hold. Like, what the fuck are these guys talking about? But there was a big charity event we were going to do at one of the restaurants I worked at in Virginia. And the plan was myself and my friend Dirty. That was his name, nickname. In real life, we called him Dirty. But anyway, we were going to do a whole angle. We were roommates. We've been best friends forever. Travis was his name. And we were going to do an angle where we got into a big fight at the bar together. And we were going to run the angle for like 2 weeks where we hated each other to where it became a match at this event. And at the time, I had hair down to my waist. It was going to be a hair versus hair match, because so did he. And the match was going to take place at the restaurant. And basically, the whole match was I was going to go over and he shave his head, right? But as I finished shaving his head, Dave, he was going to hit me. And I'm playing to the crowd. He hits me in the back of the head with a chair, knocks me down, and shaves my head like a true heel.
Oh, it turns the tides on the blow off.
Yeah. So it's a good angle so we could continue it. But then the group went out of business and it was a mess. But it was going to be really fun.
We got to bring it back.
I would love to.
We got to call.
We had a balcony dive spot. Like, there's a balcony there. I was going to dive off the balcony on it.
Spot.
Yeah.
It like some New Jack shit?
Not quite that high, but it definitely would have been impressive.
That's crazy. Like, on the tables, or what are we talking?
He was going to be in the ring, and I was going to jump from the second balcony. You know, it was probably only about 10, 12 feet off the ring, but I was going to jump onto him from that. It was going to be kind of impressive.
That would have been a spot.
It would have been pretty dope. Never happened, though. But you know what else is impressive? Our guest tonight's resume. Let me tell you what. Her resume, I mean, almost being nominated for a James Beard Award, Food & Wine Magazine, you name it, she has done it. I can't wait to talk to her. About everything and have you hang out with us, and Jeffy's going to join us in a little while, man. So I'm going to take a breather here, pop a top on a cold one, get relaxed, get set down, get comfortable, and when we come back, Dave, we're going to be hanging out with the one, the only, Chef Maria Grubb. How's that?
Let's do it.
You got it, man. Stay right there. I'm Chef Plum. That's the Food Porn Unicorn, a.k.a. FBU. We'll be right back with Plum Love Foods Live. Stay right there. Oh yeah, Dave, Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word is not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM. That's ErgoChef.com.
Every 100 years, an idea comes along that changes the way we think.
It's one small step for man, one giant step for
man. It molds us as people, outlines social norms, and brings us full circle in life.
Go ahead, son. Fetch that cleaver and stump. It's time to take out that cock.
Mommy, where does chicken meat come from?
Yeah, how do we kill these chicken to eat now when we raise them, Trevor?
A dream turned into a reality. So inspiring, so creative, it needs no introduction. Chef tested, poultry farmer approved and endorsed by the Church of Jesus and Latter-day Saints. Introducing Cock Blocks, the first cutting board guillotine designed to lock in that cock just before you lop its top. Comes complete with ergodynamic blood pool, adjustable leather straps, three blade choices, and a face splatter shield just in case. Now you can take your cock harvesting to the next level. Take it to Cock Blocks.
Order now online, www.cockblocks.com. That's blocks with triple X. The first 100 orders will receive a free child-size splatter shield.
A Sizzle Plate product.
Coming back right here live, Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy, Chef Plum, the food porn unicorn, sitting there with me, a.k.a. Dave Shirotsky. Dave, I got to get you a cock blocks thing, man.
Yeah, big shout out to our sponsors real quick. How about cock blocks?
How about cock blocks? I like how you said that.
Checking in.
I love it, man. I love it. Listen, apparently you get a free child-size splatter shield if you order now. That's nice.
Have your credit cards ready.
That's right. That's right. Just shipping and handling, right? That's it. Holy shit. Hey, listen, man.
It's a family activity.
That's right. That's right. Everybody should lop that cock off as a group, right? It's a cock lopping party.
It's called bonding. It's called bonding.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
Bonding.
Bonding. That's right. Listen, I'll tell you, I just sneezed, so that's what happened there. But sorry about that. Tonight's guest, I'll tell you what, when you have a resume as good as hers, it's hard not to respect her as a chef. When you see some of the things that she's done food wise on her Instagram at Underground Dining Club as well, but more importantly, when you hear the stories about the charity work she's done and the amazing things she's done in Puerto Rico, from the hurricane to feeding people to even feeding people across the country and just doing amazing charity work, it's hard not to have a lot of respect for our guest tonight. Please welcome, friends, Chef Maria Grubb. Chef, good evening. How are you?
Wow, good evening, guys.
What's going on?
That was a nice introduction.
Not bad, right? See, I'm professional. What do you want from me?
Oh my God, I feel like so special right now.
Well, you should, because you are special. Because honestly, I tell you what, your resume and doing a little research on you is pretty impressive. Don't you think, Dave?
Absolutely. I was sitting there. I was reading up on the food and wine and everything. Super talented, super awesome stuff.
Yeah, it's just amazing some of the stuff you've done.
You know, when like you always look at yourself as a cook, so you always feel like, oh my God, I sound like all professional and shit. So it's hard to get over that shit.
Well, listen, I love that you said you look at yourself as a cook, because I think too many people in our industry, you know, I think you and I are roughly the same age, and younger people in our industry think of the word of being a cook as a bad thing. Like, I don't at all. Do you?
No, well, when you say about the same age, you mean like we're not millennials. That's what you mean, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what, yeah, it's a different generation. Not you, Dave.
Hey, sorry,
Dave,
guys.
Dave, not you. You're not in the industry. Well, you're in a different part of the industry.
That's right.
But the non-millennial thing, that I think today is like, it's like your golden ticket or something. Like, I'm not a millennial, I swear.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm pretty far off from being a millennial, but you know what I'm saying. It's just like, listen, I cook food for a living. I'm a cook. I think you can't be a chef without being a great cook. And there's no shame in being a great cook. No matter what, if you're a chef, you still cook food, and that means you better be good at it, right?
100%. Like, one doesn't come without the other. Like,
absolutely.
You have to be a good cook before you. And there was time where people were trying to call me chef, and I was like, no. Let me cook, because I didn't feel comfortable with the title. It took me a long time to feel like, okay, now you can call me chef. And I never even agreed to it. It's just a point that you just decide that, okay, I guess I feel comfortable with what I know to have this title, because it's a big deal.
It kind of just happens too, doesn't it? Like, one day you're like, oh, I guess I'm a chef now.
Yeah, I feel like I fought it longer than what I sat there deciding. I never decided that I was going to be a chef. I sat there longer trying to fight the title, because I didn't feel comfortable with it until, like, one day I was like, I guess that's what I am now.
Yeah.
Because I felt comfortable with the knowledge that you have. And I didn't feel comfortable until, like, a very long time of being a cook. It didn't happen overnight, for sure.
Well, what does that word mean to you? I mean, I can give it definitions all day long, but I'm not the guest on the program. When I hear the word chef, you know, and you hear the word chef, what does it mean to you?
I don't know. It's a very complicated time to talk about being a chef while with COVID and the restrictions
right.
that we have. And there's also, you know, we grew up in the, when Anthony Bourdain was talking about the Kitchen Brigade, we were sitting there behind him being like, fuck yeah, thank you, Tony, for talking about our struggle.
Yeah.
And then, like, he kept it and he held it. And then, unfortunately, he left us. But we all sat here like, now who's going to talk for us? And then he just turned into something like, okay, now everybody looks at the Christian, at the Kitchen Brigade, like maybe something that should be abolished or done with, because he's a little abusive and whatever.
Yeah.
But then we all look to Tony, and Tony's sitting here like, fuck yeah, we held on to this Kitchen Brigade, and this is the norm, this is the rule, and then if you can't stand the heat, get out of it. And we're all sitting here like, we chefs. And it's kind of weird, because everybody's saying like, no, that system is abolished, it's done for, you shouldn't be applauding it.
Right. Well, it's because they think everybody now, you know, apparently it's not. It's your right to not have your feelings hurt now, I guess. I mean, Dave, what do you think? Did I say that the right way?
So it's weird, right? So there should be deference to the title, right? Like, if you put in all that work, if you have all that knowledge, like, I mean, there is deference.
How
to
much
the
money did you pay to get there?
Sure.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. All part of it. Blood, sweat, tears, money.
Like,
but then
education.
There's the people in love with
right.
it, right? Like, the people that suck their own dick just because of the title.
Wow. Okay.
And that's
that's
where it just kind of get like muddled in there. And that's in any field. That's not just chefs. That's
right.
You know, anybody with an MD, PhD, whatever. And I'll tell you what, if I had a PhD, you're goddamn right, everybody would be calling me doctor, even if I had it in like English lit. But I mean, that's the difference.
I insist that my kids call me chef. Does that make me bad?
No.
They're like, daddy. I'm like, who the fuck is daddy? My name is chef.
Who?
Amazing.
Walk out of that
like,
room
no.
and come back in
we
again
chef.
With a
that's right. You better say we chef. And by the way, your station looks like shit. Mop that fucking floor. And they're like, what station? What are you talking about?
Clean your station. Who's opening your shift?
That's right. Get your shit together over there. She's like, my wife's like, she's 9. Relax. I'm like, well, she better know how to brunoise.
Welcome to Thunderdome.
How's your emulsification?
Amazing.
No,
but
I guess, what does it mean to you guys to be referred to as chef, like by someone like myself?
You know, for me, it's a title that's earned. I've been doing this for 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, I'm totally okay with it now. Like, it's almost like when you become a doctor, you know, you want to be a doctor. Like, yeah, I've worked hard to be a chef, and I am chef, and I've earned that title. I've run my fair share of awards. I've, you know, done my fair share of work to get there. But more importantly, I think the word chef, I think it means leader. It means someone who doesn't crack under pressure. It means someone who can take a lot of heat. It means someone who's going to stand up for their people who work for them. And, you know, when things are going to go bad, they're going to take all the blame for it. And when things are going to go good, they're going to give all the credit to the people that work with them. I mean, chef, am I wrong about that?
You're literally not 100%. You become the general.
Yeah.
You need to learn about your food cost. You need to learn when that random person comes in with 20 different allergies. And, you know, half of them are not even allergies, but you entertain the idea of an allergy. Even though when somebody says, like, oh, you know, I'm allergic to alliums, but then they're like, oh, but I'm okay with garlic. I'm like, no, that's an allium, bitch. You're lying to me. Like, don't even go there, you know? But I'm here. And as a chef, I would tell my team of 10 people to be like, you know what? It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. And, like, don't worry about it. I'm going to tell you what not to use and what to use. And, no, don't look into your phone. You don't need to Wikipedia this. You don't need to Google this. I'm going to tell you because I've been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah.
So I can do this in 2 seconds. And I have a joke with one of my very good chef friends who's also a female chef. And we always joke about it. And it's like, and that's why they fucking call me chef. Because I can make this distinction in 2 seconds.
Wow.
In 2 seconds.
Wow.
That's, what was that?
It was me pressing the wrong button. I apologize. It was a total accident.
I was like, what did I do?
You didn't do anything. It was so loud, though. I apologize. 100% my fault.
It was amazing. I'm like, hot on the button. What did I say? But I'm listen, like, oh shit, did I fuck it up?
No, you didn't fuck it up. Listen, it's one of those things that literally I think that why does it keep happening?
Oh my god.
I'm trying to download something while I'm talking to you. That's the problem right now. it's Jeffy's intro music and he's he'll be here soon. But no, I think that's exactly.
Now I know.
Yeah, well, it's exactly right though. I think it's as a chef, I mean, we're leaders and we are people who, like, you know, take the heat and can give the credit. And, you know, honestly, to be totally honest, in the world we live in today, we could use more people like that.
It's also a matter of standards. Like, I could lie to you. I could tell you that there's no chicken bouillon in your stock that you wanted to be vegan. I could lie to you, and you probably wouldn't even know that I just put, like, chicken stock in your shit. But right. You know what? I'm not, because I have integrity, I have ethics, and I care, and I want my food to be delicious without having to cheat. And just because of that, and for many other reasons, that when our restaurant industry is very, you know, underpaid, and us chefs, maybe we get a little bit more slack and more responsibility, but with that, that comes more like a sense of who's the one at the helm of, like, fucking something up.
Right.
So the sense of responsibility is heavy. It lies heavy in the crown. And it's stressful as fuck. But we sit here. And at the end of the day, I don't want to cheat. I want you to feel that you can have a vegan stock. And I'm not lying to you. That is a delicious vegan stock. And that's the type of thing that I feel like I want you to trust me with my food. And I want you to trust me with what I'm giving you. So
100%.
I don't know. It's a very confusing time.
I mean, the trust is the most important part of it there, I think. I couldn't agree more about that. And when you're a chef, it's important that you have that trust. But I don't even know if it's so much of a trust as it is just having, like you said, a work ethic. It's something that we're proud of. We want to do a good job. We want things to be great and delicious and make every guest happy. I mean, you know, as cliche as it sounds, I mean, you and I both were only as good as the last person we served. That's the truth. I mean, and you want all of them 100. To be great. You want them all to be great. But sometimes, you know, shit happens, you know?
It does, and that's okay. But I think all we have is just like honesty, and how do we prove that we can provide something beautiful and delicious without having to lie and just keeping the honesty, which I think is what's going to separate everybody in an era where you have so many few options of where you're going to have dinner.
That's
so
right.
You're going to be more skeptical about where you're going to sit down to have a nice meal, whether it's indoors or outdoors. It's like, who do I trust? Who's going to take care of what I want and what I need? And then how do you stay as a chef true to yourself into what you feel like is your mommy drive and like what you want to provide to people? So we're dealing with a lot of confusing issues right now, for sure.
Preach on, good sister. Preach on. We're joined tonight by Chef Maria Grubb. You can follow her on Instagram at Underground Dining Club on Instagram. Check her out there. Her photos are beautiful, aren't they, Dave?
Amazing stuff. Super colorful, super vibrant, really fresh looking, awesome stuff.
Yeah, really, really fantastic stuff.
Thank you, guys.
It looks great, and I'm excited to talk to you. And we got some more stuff to dive into, but I'd be remiss if I didn't bring on somebody here, you guys, and listen, I think if I look off in the distance there, Dave, I see a cigarette boat approaching. What is that? And is that a...
I smell it.
Is that a Hawaiian shirt I see? What is... Oh, my God. It's a Hawaiian shirt and... Is there a pet alligator? Wait, am I mixing up my 80s shows? I can't tell what's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us.
Yep.
Coming in hard.
Woo! Is this the Magnum P.I.
Oh, no. It's Chef Jeffy's intro music. Hey, Jeffy.
I think it's Jeffy's music. What's up, ladies and gentlemen?
Yep, you're a legend.
Tonight. Listen, it's your great aunt's favorite young suitor in the building.
Wow, I like that.
Amazing.
Jeffy, Dave.
Wait, is your mustache as amazing?
That's right.
I got mustache, I got beard and belly. I'm out here living high on the hog.
There it is. Jeffy, we missed you. Shirosky was sitting in doing a really good job. We were talking. We got a lot of wrestling talk in while you weren't here, so that's good.
Thank God. Good to get it out of your system.
Say hi to Chef Maria Grubb joining us here in the program, talking to Chef Life a little bit.
That's awesome. I love Maria. I was listening to a little bit. Of course, my service is dog shit in the Hamptons, so I got like half of the conversation. But from what I've heard, it's awesome. And I've had the great pleasure of hanging out with Maria. We actually ate some uni together and drank some port.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And drank some port in New York City.
You know, this is why people hate on chefs. It's like we're broke bitches, but then we know each other. And every now and then somebody gets a hook up with, like, I don't know, random shit like Hokkaido, uni, and E5 Wagyu beef. And maybe one of the person happens to be Jeff. And he happens to have both. And then you happen to be in the Hamptons. And this sounds so bougie for people that make, like, less than average wage. But this is true. This happened in, like, one day. And I was just sitting here like, yo, for somebody that makes so little money, I'm sitting here having, like, something the Japanese have. What do the Japanese call it when you have A5 Wagyu? It's, like, a special occasion. You only have that, like, every 3 years.
It's somebody's birthday.
And I'm sitting... Yeah. And I happen to be sitting at Jeff's patio in the Hamptons, a fellow cook. So I'm sitting here like, what the fuck am I doing here? But there I was.
Well, when cooks get together, we throw down. We love to eat. We love to eat and we love to share the delicious shit that we get to experience. You know, that's what it's all about.
I know, but this is the reason why people think that chefs actually make money when we don't. We're broke bitches.
Oh, that's why I'm a chef, so I can eat and, you know, and still pay rent.
Listen, Jeffy's...
Exactly. We just happen to be surrounded.
Jeffy's hospitality is world-renowned, his hospitality to people. I mean, he is the most beloved person
it's
on the planet.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, stop.
Oh, Jeffy, my God. I was in New York in the middle of this pandemic for like a random week, and I ran into Jeff, and he had set up with some amazing like A5 Wagyu and Hokkaido uni with the most random.
Yeah, that's Jeffy. That's what he does.
Soy sauce.
And here's the best part, Maria. If you need a partner and you happen to be at a festival in Puerto Vallarta and you need a partner to get a couples massage with, Jeffy will step in. He's done it for me.
I'm always ready for that. It doesn't have to be Puerto Vallarta. It could be anywhere. I mean, anywhere. We could be in Manhattan, downtown, you know, like, you know, Chinatown. You want a massage? I'm in.
I mean,
and that's what people don't believe when we sit here as chefs and say, like, no, our life is not that glamorous. But then I put up that Instagram post and people don't believe shit. They're like, no, bitch, you're sitting here eating, like, all this amazing stuff. What do you mean your life sucks? I'm like, no, I swear, that was just a happy coincidence.
Right, that was one time.
How do you... Exactly.
Well, it's like, hard to explain to people that it's the scraps. You know, those are the scraps that we're eating from somebody else's really dope table that I've already prepared. And they just happen to be dope scraps. You know what I mean? I happen to work for someone who eats really well.
Those are the leftovers.
Yeah. I mean, which, like, is crazy. Oh,
shut up.
Listen, man, I happen to be an ox that plows a field full of gold. And I'm not leaving.
That's pretty good, Jeffy.
What an analogy.
That's pretty damn good.
Me up, I'm out in that field eating, too. You ain't hurting me for eating, plowing in my field.
I mean, just excuse me, Jeffy. I want to give you this really quick.
Danielson. Oh.
Amazing.
I mean, listen. Well, I want to shift gears a little bit, Maria, and talk a little bit about, because, I mean, you live in Puerto Rico. Like, that's, like, where you live full-time for the most part, right?
What? Where is it?
Yeah. 100%.
Puerto Rico.
No, but I like how you said it first.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico.
Oh no, that was a total accident. I took a big sip of beer right before then, and I had a little gas there come up.
Oh, was it? I thought you were like throwing it.
No,
a little roll.
I could try it.
Puerto
Rico.
The Virginia just left you completely. You were deep in Puerto Rico.
I took a big gulp of beer. Listen,
you know what, guys?
Anything Italian?
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit here and let you two just, like, outdo each other and just, like, sinking each other in Puerto Rico right now. Because both of you are not getting there.
I mean, how bad is it? How bad am I? I feel like I would pass as almost native.
Oh, my God. When we were in Puerto Vallarta, Jeffy was trying to convince everyone he spoke Spanish. But all he would do is yell the four Spanish words he knew very loudly.
No, that's not what I would do. I would speak in English with a Spanish accent.
You did that too, which is very funny.
I would try to put like a Spanish twist on it and look at them in the eye and think that I would try to think the words to them as I was saying them.
It's so racist.
What? No, I literally did this. This is what I was trying to do, right, and
look.
I thought, I can communicate this way.
It's not racist.
Jeffy, can we interview the guest now, Jeffy?
I'm sorry.
All right.
All right. Listen. So, Maria, what I want to get at is.
I just have to say. Oh, wait.
Please.
Don't
go ahead.
Disappoint. No, but wait. Before this is done, I'm gonna throw like one single like universal kitchen lingo word at both of you, and then I'm gonna determine which one of you is more acute with the subject.
I love that. I think that's a great idea. I look pretty cute these days. I've lost 20 pounds. I think I'm looking good.
Probably.
I think both of you should have a drink before we do this. I'm just saying.
I've had several.
Done.
and Swarovski is still putting cocaine in his ears right now, so.
No.
How the kids doing?
Sometimes your nose breaks. You know,
All right. Let's get on with our... So, Maria, what I'm trying to get at to talk to you about was, it's funny to go from talking about all this great food and having like uni and A5 Wagyu and stuff. But I mean, you were down there running a restaurant. I mean, after a hurricane, a very, very bad hurricane.
I worked in New York for a long time. I was lucky enough to work in a bunch of like Stanley Meyer and like Michelin star and like recognized restaurants in New York, and then I decided to move back to Puerto Rico. I have an autistic son, so I needed to be close to family, and when you work 16 hours a day, you need some help, so Puerto Rico made sense, so I came back. And then I opened the restaurant, and the hurricane happened a few years after, and it was shitty, it was sucky, and then I had to leave the island for a few months because of my autistic son, and then I came back, and my restaurant really, really tried, and in the middle of that, I happened to earn a James Beard nomination, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And then, but the numbers don't keep up. people think that just because you have a Food and Wine or James Beard or a name out there and Condé Nast wants you and you're on all the press, it doesn't mean shit. You can just talk about the place that you want to go to until you go to it and support it on a regular basis. And I was unfortunately a victim of it. The lucky part that I had is that somebody wanted to buy the key to the restaurant. And if you're in the industry, you understand that means that you're kind of like walking out with like, okay, maybe I didn't lose everything. I made some money. And that was basically what happened with our restaurant.
So you
and
sold it.
In the good part, yeah, we sold the restaurant. I got to keep the name. So if I ever want to open again, I can. But I was already worried. I was coming out of 3 years after the Hurricane Maria, which literally destroyed us. I had to close my restaurant for 5 months after the hurricane because we had no electricity.
Yeah,
so I couldn't open, and I had to restart from bottom. And the industry never picked up. Like, nobody wanted to come to Puerto Rico after the hurricane and after Zika and after all these horrible things in the news. Nobody wanted to come to Puerto Rico, which relies a lot on tourism. So it was like 2 years of struggling until an opportunity showed itself of like a getting out, like not losing everything. And then you had to add the numbers. And even though I was at the peak as a chef personally, but I'm not a person. I'm a restaurant. I just happen to be the chef. So it doesn't matter if I have a James Beard nomination, if my restaurant and my staff and my cooks and my dishwasher and my bartender are not in the same level as I am, they're going to lose. So the decision was easy. So the key was sold. And then right after that, freaking Corona hit. And everybody kept telling to me, like, you, like, fucking, like, dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
Like, you got out of this. Like, you got out of this. I literally sold the restaurant 2 months before Corona. I mean, COVID, sorry.
Yeah,
before
yeah.
COVID. So we got out of it, and that was a lucky, hit, but we're headed. It was going to happen. And that's the thing that I think everybody needs to talk about. It's not how you get out of this. It's how the restaurant industry really, this was coming towards the restaurant industry no matter what. This is just pointing out the obvious. So people shouldn't be like, okay, you can't go to a restaurant anymore. It was coming. It was going to happen regardless. This has just made it easier and faster. And our industry is not right. And I think this is just pointing the obvious. And I think if we don't come out of this, we can come out of this alive. But if we don't come out of this with a solution, then what have we done the past 7 months?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting to say all that because I think, a lot of restaurants aren't going to come out of this and aren't going to make it through, and some already haven't made it through. But those who have, you know, are those who have, you know, learned how to adjust and can adjust with the times and make things happen, which is something I'm sure you would have done as well at your spot. But one of the things that you also do, you know, when you look at, if you want to see her restaurant, that was Gallo Negro, right?
Yeah.
If you want to see it, there's a great spot done on a PBS series called Family Ingredients that I watched, and I was like, oh, she's fantastic. You got to watch it. You can find it on YouTube. Just type in PBS Food. It comes on there. You can see it there. It's called Family Ingredients. Chef Maria is featured on that show. It's very, very great. I mean, the food looks great. The cocktails look great. What was that little drink you guys were having, that shot there at the end with the terrible host?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The host is terrible.
Okay, so it's
Jeffy.
A local rum. It's
awful.
A local rum, and and it was something that you know, when you live in New York City, we do that thing that you call either the family or the buyback, where you have like three drinks, and after three drinks, you get either a free shot or a buyback of whatever you want. But most Irish bars in New York. And as a Puerto Rican, when I moved to New York in 2000, I was like, this is amazing. You have three drinks and they give you a free shot. And I couldn't get over it. So when I opened a restaurant in Puerto Rico, I was like, nobody does this here, but I think it would be amazing if we did that. Like, and so we always did the buyback, but we used to do it at local rum. And that local rum you're talking about is called Ron del Barrilito. And it's like a rum that's been made since the 1800s. And it's just like an amazing distilled local rum that almost tastes like a sweet, I don't know, like a sweet scotch. It's just very beautiful. It has a lot of spice and flavor, and it has history to it. So I like at my restaurant, when we had the restaurant, we used to love to offer it as a buyback or as a thank you or as a gracias for being Puerto Rico thing. And it became our thing. So it was funny and cute and amazing how that show in PBS, Family Ingredients, like included that scene. Because we did it out of the kindness. We didn't do it for press. And then when we saw it on the show, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe they're like showcasing that, because we didn't mean it like that. It's just something, you know, you want people to feel welcome when they come to your land.
I think that's why they featured it comes across that way
yeah,
in the show, which is why they would, I would have put it in too if I was editing that program for sure, because it's a great scene. It comes across well. Next time you are in the New York area, I want you to bring me a bottle of this rum. Can you do that?
Oh, you know, it's so funny. Like, so I was lucky enough to see Jeff last week, and I got to hang out with your other good brother, Dave. And I brought him a bottle of that from the Bajelito, and I was just like, okay.
Jeff, you have this?
Not me. Dave got that.
Shirotsky?
Well, that's on you guys.
On no.
That's on you.
Is that why he hasn't been to work? You get this delicious rum? He told me he had diarrhea. He's got the rum.
All right, Jeffy. All right.
I'm
listen,
just playing.
We're getting personal.
Maybe one leads to the other. I don't know.
We're hanging out tonight. With Chef.
No, I'm not even.
It's called a plug, Maria. You got me to plug you. All right. Hang on
plug.
A second. Hang on a second.
Plug away.
Hanging out tonight with Chef Maria Grubb. You can find her on Instagram at Underground Dining Club on Instagram. Check her out there. Food pictures are beautiful. Chef, I want to talk a little bit about some of the wonderful, wonderful work you're doing charity-wise, feeding people, and kind of the things you had going on in Philadelphia recently. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, basically, speaking of your good brother Dave, he was one of the people that helped me. Like, Puerto Rico had all these sudden, like, earthquakes back in January. It was something out of nobody saw it coming. All of a sudden, we were having earthquakes, and people were displaced, nowhere to live or to eat. And I went to Philly and did a fundraiser.
Would you say, Dave?
I mean, there was no...
Did Trump stop by and throw out paper towels again?
Oh, Jesus
Christ. No, that was beyond paper towels. Like, he didn't even acknowledge that that was happening to begin with. So, I have a... I'm sorry?
You ran out of paper towels.
No, not this time, though. It's just for the hurricane, because I guess water and paper towels. I don't know what you throw for hurricanes. I mean, for earthquakes. But anyway,
hang on a second.
Water
I got
and paper towels.
Hang on a second, Maria. I've got something for Dave here. Hang on. Here you go. All right, go ahead.
I'm waiting for it.
The beautiful people of, I was having an event with the wonderful Chef Christina from South Philly Barbacoa. She's a wonderful chef that's been featured on Chef Netflix Chef Table.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
She offered me to cook in her kitchen in Philly. And two brother Dave came over and he helped me with like doing this wonderful pop-up, and we gather all this money. I have a non-profit company called Surf PR. And our mission is to help people in the food industry when they're like stuck in situations like this. When, like, your restaurant has closed down and the dishwasher and the bar back is, like, left with no money because, wait, if the restaurant can't open, you're not making money. And as we all know, there's no health benefits. Nobody is getting sick pay or days off or vacation or nothing. They're out of work. So our foundation just makes sure that these people earn some money or have a way to live through these horrible circumstances that hit the industry. Like, there's no protection for us. I mean, everybody's on that 213 pay, and if you're a cook, if you're lucky, you're making okay money, but it's never good enough. And if you have kids and a family and your restaurant closed, you're really pretty screwed up. So our foundation just makes sure to take care of those people in the middle of this mess in Puerto Rico. We saw after Hurricane Maria, and then we continue with the earthquake in early January, and then freaking COVID hit up. So we started doing family meal where we're feeding people in the industry every day with a free family meal. No question asked, just come over and have a free meal, a wonderful free meal with good ingredients, not some shitty food. No, like good shit.
Right.
Like stuff that you can go home and be like, I had a freaking good meal today and didn't have to pay shit. And you earn it because you work in the industry and you deserve it. And that's what we're trying to do. But I don't know. Now we're in a back and forth because people went back to work. But here in Puerto Rico, 2 days ago, they went back. Last week, they went back into a curfew where restaurants have to close at 7 o'clock p.m. Like, yeah, it's like dry law. You can buy any booze. You can be out. You can be driving. If you get caught, you get a ticket. It's like freaking curfew.
Is COVID picking up there a little bit?
It wasn't. It was really good. But then Puerto Rico did this thing where, unfortunately, people discovered that you can buy a plane ticket for $11 to come to Puerto Rico.
Oh, my God.
And all, like, think of the people that can afford $11 tickets, all the, you know, people maybe not in the best financial situation finding a way to buy an $11 ticket and coming to Puerto Rico.
Hell yeah. It's easy to be homeless in Puerto Rico. It's warm as fuck.
Yeah. It's been crazy. And the island is like fighting back. Like, go back home. You're not welcome. $11 plane ticket to Puerto Rico. How do you say no to that?
I feel like this was Puerto Rico's chance. This was Puerto Rico's chance to just cut and run from the rest of the U.S. and just be like, nope, we're out.
Yeah, but the island being a colony, because we are United States citizens, but we can't vote for the president, so we're stuck with whatever the United States decides for us. So we're stuck with whatever. If you guys are stuck with Trump. Yeah, we can't even vote for the guy. Like, we're not allowed to vote for the president. So whatever the United States decides, that's what we're stuck with. And now we're sitting here with people coming down with the $11 plane ticket, walking around with no mask, and we made it like to the point that you guys, I can honestly tell you, I have yet to met a person with COVID.
Wow.
And
you
now
met anybody,
the cases are just not a single person. And it's been how long since March? I haven't met a single person with COVID. And I went to New York for a week last week and I was a little scared and I came back with that same statistic. But now the numbers in Puerto Rico are going up because people are flying down on $11 plane tickets on a fucket mode.
$11?
So it's really scary right now.
You know who it is? It's those motherfuckers from Park Slope. It's those broke bitch motherfuckers from Park Slope hanging out.
No,
let's go down to Puerto Rico and get drunk and drink cheap beer.
Yeah.
And spread COVID.
No, it's been proven. It's actually, and I hate to say it, It's a lot of Orlando, Florida, and Jersey.
O-Town.
Get at it.
Those are the...
So the armpit and the crotch of America have been attacking Puerto Rico?
This is some bullshit.
I said
the armpit and the crotch of America have been attacking Puerto Rico?
It's literally... There's 30 flights.
Newsflash. Plum Up Foods Live.
Wow.
30 flights from Florida a day, and the rest of them are from Jersey. And
listen,
like, I came from New York. I just came 2 days ago and the plane was empty. JFK was empty, yet Puerto Rico airport was packed and it was all with Florida and Jersey people.
Wow, that's insane. That's a shame to hear, but an $11 plane ticket, I mean, damn, I might come to Puerto Rico.
I mean, But do you want to come and have COVID or spread your COVID?
Is it still 11 bucks? Can I come down? Can I crash if I come down?
Can we crash with you?
Yeah. But, like, do we trust you? You just don't bring your disease.
Listen, Jeffy and I are good. I can't speak for Shirosky. I don't know what his deal is.
We don't know about Shirosky. He lives in Philly. The numbers in Philly are fucked
up. It's fucked up. It's true. But us, Jeffy and I get tested constantly. So we're
clean. I'm always tested. I'm getting tested Monday. And I'm wearing a mask all the time. You know, I'm always out here. I'm wearing a mask. I got a face shield.
I wear a hazmat
hand
suit.
Hand sanitizer. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to come stay with you. Is that cool?
No. Don't come, actually.
You're like, no.
All right, can I have a, nice tent. Can I put it up in your backyard? Is that cool?
Ooh. Me and Plum tenting in your backyard together.
Yes.
It'd be a magical experience. It'll sound like two giant animals.
Oh my god, it's like 100 degrees out.
Just, that's okay.
You know, the Hamptons is like chilling right now compared to Puerto Rico. Like, seriously, so hot down here.
I'll tell you right now, that doesn't ever stop Chef Plum. Chef Plum, I've seen him make air conditioners out of like styrofoam, ice, some duct tape, a fan, and intuition. And this motherfucker had the whole room chilled out. We were like, damn, Plum is like, he's on some real shit over here. He really, I'm not even bullshitting. I saw it. I was like, this motherfucker, he's not even playing around.
I'm a Southern boy. I gotta have AC. I can't live. If I don't have AC, I'm gonna make one.
Dude, you're like the freaking MacGyver of AC, man.
It's true. Well, there was a restaurant I worked in years ago where they didn't have any AC in the kitchen in Virginia, and it was hot as fuck. And so what I ended up doing was I bought 3 box fans and put them on the line. And I would put these big Lexans full of ice water in front of the box fan. So the box fan, almost like convection, blew air over the ice. The ice would then cool the air down, and the cool air would then hit people on the line.
Science.
Okay, terrific.
Boom.
There you go. Hanging out tonight with Chef Maria Grubb. You can find her on Instagram at Underground Dining Club. Chef, let me ask you this before we get you out of here. We have a lot of young people who check out this program and love to listen and get pointers and tips from our great guests like yourself on the show. What's some really good advice you think you could give to a young culinarian right now?
Oh, man. I guess, you know, working in kitchens and you always have the young gun coming your way. I feel like the main question that we all get asked is like, culinary school or not? And it's a question that I've been asked for the past, I don't know, over a decade. Like, chef, should I go to culinary school? And I always feel hypocritic because I went to culinary school. I went to a special culinary institute in New York, and I learned so much. And I worked with amazing chefs. And they definitely opened the doors for me in the fine dining world in New York City. However, I'm a hypocrite because I'm always like, don't go to culinary school. I think it's an answer that goes with how old you are and what you want to do with your life. And I guess the advice that I always been giving to, that I've been requested, hence why I'm giving it right now, is culinary school or not. And I feel like if you're below 22, fuck it. Find a really good chef. Figure out who's the best in the game. Go work for them. Pick them for a shift. If he doesn't agree, find the next best chef that you like and somebody that you respect and that you trust, like that love you have for Anthony Bourdain. Find that chef that means the same shit and go work for them and do some work. If you're older, then maybe you should go to culinary school, but then still follow the same rule. Find a really good chef that you believe and trust, and that's going to advance your career. And in the long run, you can speak the same lingo. And it's just going to make your life easier in the kitchen. And I guess that's my advice.
Chef, I was 20.
Mainly because of the one that I'm being asked for.
I was in my mid-20s, chef, when I went to culinary school. And I needed that in my life. I needed discipline in my life. I needed that. So it's good. But I don't think there's a right or wrong. I think whatever works for you, I think it's good advice. You know, I think you should definitely work in the industry. The problem is, chef, it's like what we opened this whole conversation up with. unfortunately, I'm afraid the generation of people that are out there now and below us, they don't understand go and work for free for a little bit just to get in the door. They don't understand that.
But you see, that's what I'm trying to explain to them, that it's not free. It's like, how much would you pay for culinary school? Yeah. It's not free. You're just the same time that you would give to a culinary school to pay for a loan or a debt, just give it to a chef. In the end, you're going to be paying the same amount of money. So, I'm with you. I went to culinary school. But if I was younger, I would have skipped it. And then now I wouldn't have a debt that I'm still paying for, when we all know that this industry doesn't pay what it requires to pay for a student loan. So that's why I always feel like, don't do it. Save that money. Find another way. But unfortunately, I guess it all comes to your minerals. How much balls do you want to give to it?
Right. Right. Well, Chef, we appreciate your time tonight. You've been a lot of fun to talk to, and good luck with everything. Much respect to you for everything you've got, all of your accolades. There's definitely more there to talk about, so maybe we'll have to do a part two sometime.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. I would love to. I'm always
When's the next pop-up? You know. When are you going to be stateside again cooking? Any idea?
Oh, my God. I was supposed to go back to South Philly Barbacoa in 2 weeks. But now with all this COVID resurgence, I'm afraid I'm going to have to cancel. So I think I'm like every other chef, just standing here waiting for our next moment to roam free.
I know Dave was looking forward to it.
I had my ticket.
Dude, we're going to have a good time. Like, he was awesome last time we went to South Philly, so it's a shame, but there'll be other times for sure.
Well, listen, Maria, we appreciate you. Good luck to you. I look forward to seeing you next time you're in the New York area.
Yeah, likewise. And Jeff, thank you so much for that awesome Wagyu.
My pleasure. Like I said, it was great to hang out. It was great to hang out. You know, I love to make the connections. Fun. I love how, like, Plum always says it, you know, food brings us together. And it's so true.
It's,
you know, we
amazing.
Get to hang out, and glad you're a good sister, and you're part of the network, and we're happy to have you aboard.
And I don't like all this love for Jeff. I'll bring you some good food when I see you, too. Jeff's great, but there's other good people.
I know you about it.
You know,
I'm not second guessing you. I know you're about it. You're not being left out.
I get jealous. All right. Listen, Chef, we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Yeah, guys. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
You're very welcome. We'll talk to you
soon. You're the best,
Bria.
There
she goes, Chef. Guys.
All right, guys.
Peace.
All right, peace out. Good night.
There she goes, fellas. Chef Maria. She's fantastic. A lot of fun. Wow. When you hang up on Skype now, it says... I hung up on her, and it says Chef Plum kicked out, and it showed her number. I didn't kick her out. We were done talking. Jesus.
That's aggressive.
Makes you feel weird.
It does sound aggressive. A lot of fun talking to her, man. I think it's great when you hear stories about people like her and the things that she's done.
Is it raining where either one of you guys are right now?
Yeah, it's raining. Wait, Jeffy, did you forget we're doing the podcast? I'm trying to transition out of the interview.
I just had to know because it just started the lightning and thunder here, and I was wondering how big the storm was. So.
Yeah, it's been raining pretty bad here for about an hour and a half now.
That's wild. Just started.
She's great. I love her stories, man. I love her success stories. And, you know, here's the thing about someone like her. Dave, you heard it from the get-go there. I mean, she's, you know, what you see is what you get. I mean, she's real as they come.
That was just fucking raw, right? Like, that was just, like, real deal. This is what it is. It's not glamorous. It's not pretty. But she fucking loves what she does.
Yo, I think I couldn't have said it better, man. You're right on point with that. Jeffy, I know you came in a little late there, but, you know, some pretty wise words there from Chef Maria. Good talk, Jeffy. Good talk, Jeffy.
He's eating all that Wagyu, and he's fucking sipping on the pork.
I know. What the hell? Jeffy, I just threw you the ball. You not with me anymore?
He's checking on the weather. He must be doing a weather report.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Maybe the lightning is messing up his connection or something, but...
Did Jeffy get struck?
I hope not. We'll give him a second before we talk to him again. I won't give him too much shit, because if it's a thunderstorm there, sometimes things happen. But yeah, you're right, man. It was a very raw conversation. I appreciate that. And she's done a lot of great things. And, you know, her foundation and what she was talking about, how they just want to give people a great meal. I love that story, man. It's such an important thing. It doesn't sound important when you say it, but when you're in when you're in those shoes, like a good meal, like that's what's up.
That's it, especially like right now, people are scrounging and everything to do a good meal, and she's bringing it, so you're getting some good shit.
Yeah, her family. Yeah, exactly. Her family meal is not some bullshit. It's some really high end, delicious food, you know.
And I didn't know she was down at South Philly Barbecue every now and then. I fucking love that spot.
Oh, you do? Is that near you?
That's maybe 20 minutes away.
Nice, man. Nice. So we got to check her out next time she's there. They were doing a charity event recently. Her and good brother Dave were down there.
Oh, see, I'm missing all sorts of people.
That's all right. We'll catch them next time. So big shout out to her, Chef Maria Grubb. We appreciate her being on the program. Check her out at Underground Dining Club on Instagram. She's fantastic, and you never know. She's got lots of things going on, and I feel like she just keeps winning awards and keeps, you know, getting articles written about her. So it's, you know, I'm happy for her.
Big deal.
That's right. Well, we lost Jeffy, so he must have lost power or something, but we'll get him back here shortly. Dave, one of the things I think it'd be fun to talk to you about more is wrestling. So, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. The following contest is scheduled for one fall. I'm kidding.
Give me that thing.
That's right. No, man, you know what I want to bring up, too? I thought it'd be fun to bring up episode here is just talking a little bit of music. And, you know, I know you didn't work in the kitchen, but it'd be fun to talk about music you listen to while you're in the kitchen working, you know. So when you're making those great posts on Instagram and you're cooking and slaving away in the kitchen for what is 100%, no doubt in my mind, hours at a time, do you listen to music in there, or is it quiet, or do you do podcasts? What do you do?
Oh, dude, it's either a podcast, like sometimes I'm catching up with you guys on that, but a lot of times it depends on what you're feeling, right? Like, you're angry and shit, like I'm throwing on DMX. Like, if I really got to start, like, chopping and, like, doing some angry shit, I love me some DMX. But you know what? Everything's on the table. Like, there's some Taylor Swift getting worked in there. There's some country music going in there. There's some old Guns N' Roses going in. Like, it's all over the map.
Wow, that's interesting, man. I would never picture you to be a Taylor Swift guy.
Yo, Taylor Swift speaks to me.
That's my girl, Tay Tay.
Tay Tay. Yo, we got to hit a show. You know, she's got a new album dropping tomorrow.
Well, at midnight, I think it comes out, right?
Yeah, dude. She's got a new album coming.
How old is Taylor Swift now? Am I? Would I be weird? Would I be like a... I don't know. She's like an adult, right?
Yeah. She had the 23 album, right? So, or 22. Whatever that was.
Yeah, how old is Taylor Swift? Yeah. Jeffy said his power flickered and his modem is resetting right now.
He's coming. I got a feeling she's probably 26-ish.
26? I'm Googling her right now. She's 30.
No, she's not.
December 13th, 1989. She's 30 years old.
That's officially too old to be my mistress.
Yeah, not me, though.
You're still letting it slide in.
Yeah, not me. And she's 5'10". Like, I kind of like tall girls.
Yeah, I like short.
I kind of just like all of them.
Yeah, I mean, willing is my type, but...
Did you say willing?
Willing, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Willing is...
I may have a chance. Short. I wonder if she would be into, like...
I'm in.
Do you think she'd be into, like, a witty, dick joke-making... talent, like a good show. Like, I can make her great food.
Dude, for sure. You see the dudes that she's dated?
That's true.
Nobody can crack a joke. Like, I guarantee she hasn't laughed in 5 years.
You think? I don't know. I mean, I think she might be really fun.
She dates, like, douchey guys. Yeah, dude. You make her laugh, you're gonna get it in.
Wow. I mean... I don't know. I wonder. I look at her though, and I wonder if I could make her food if that would make her happy, or does she have some douchebag chef, you know, like a private chef that is kind of garbage.
The weird thing is if she has like some weird dietary thing, like she doesn't eat vegetables that give off the shadow, or she only eats fish that eat some sort of like weird shit. Like I could see that going down.
page. Just eat vegetables that give off a shadow. That's fucking great.
Like, I can see her having, like, some weird quirk like that.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical. Listen, what we've got to figure out here is if we can find time somewhere where I could meet Tay-Tay and talk
to her. That's what we got to set up.
If the Netflix show pans out, maybe I could have a chance there.
Dude, she's into cats. I think if we do something like that, we can get her in.
I have a great cat recipe.
See, dude, that's the hook. There it is.
You think so?
Yeah, dude, she'd be into that.
All right, maybe we'll give it a try. Anyway, her album's coming out. I don't know how. Oh, because you got Taylor Swift on your playlist when you're working in the kitchen. I get you now. I was trying to think, how the fuck did we get to
Taylor Swift? What's on yours? What's on the Chef Plum playlist?
Yeah, here lately, man, it's been a lot of Clutch. You ever heard of Clutch?
I have.
Yeah, a lot of Clutch. I've been really doing Clutch a lot lately, and I'm really digging it because I forgot how much I like them.
Specifically, or like the whole genre? What are we talking?
I mean, all of it. All of it. I mean, the playlist on Spotify is fantastic. It's just, what a great band. They have an album called Clutch's album called Jam Room is basically them doing go-go music. It's so fucking good. I love it so much. And then I've also rediscovered Body Count recently. Remember Ice-T's metal band, Body Count?
No, I don't remember that one.
Oh, dude, Body Count was the
what?
Shit.
I'm back.
Jeffy!
The lightning tried to take me out, but I just sat down and thunder buddied it out, and now I'm back.
Did you say you thunder buddied?
Who's your thunder buddy?
Yeah, who's your thunder buddy?
My wife. Okay. I went inside.
I didn't know that.
Hugged. Everybody out until it passed.
She down for it, or was she fighting you off?
She fought me off a little bit, but I'm bigger than her, so, you know, she ain't got much of a chance.
Okay, well.
We're married. It's all right. It's all right in New York State.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
So
only you, Daddy.
You left. We actually threw you the ball at a great, you know, passing the ball to you, and it just was dead silent, which was fantastic. We just
absolutely classic Plum Jeffy conversations.
And Dave and I both just let it sit there for about 10 seconds.
Just waiting, like, oh, he's really pondering this one. Hmm.
He's thinking this one through. But we were talking about music in the kitchen, Jeffy, and Shirosky just told me that, you know, he has a lot of DMX, and then sometimes he goes into Taylor Swift, and we found out that Taylor Swift is actually 30 years old, and she's 5'10", and, you know, because her new album comes out tonight or tomorrow morning, whatever you think, and we basically decided that...
Google her age, because she's an adult. It's not like you're Googling, like, it's weird if, like, you're Googling the people on Disney Channel, but it's not weird if you're Googling Taylor Swift.
I've got to close some windows. Hold on. But we figured out, Jeffy, I think that if I could meet Tay-Tay, I'd probably be able to... Shirosky thinks I can make her laugh and I can cook her food. I might be able to win her over.
Oh, yeah. We got this. I think she would love us.
When's the last time? I don't think a lot of guys have given her an orgasm. I think she needs an orgasm.
Wow.
What?
Right into it, huh?
Dude, she slept with Ryan Gosling, didn't she? That guy's got abs. I had an orgasm looking at him.
Oh, hang on a second. Hang on
know.
A second.
Like mayor and like our motherfuckers. I don't.
Let me ask. Did she ever date John Mayer?
Yeah.
Okay, she had an orgasm.
This is bad because John Mayer is like known to have like a solid 10 inches.
Solid.
Pack. I mean, packing
that donkey.
And he's a pretty funny guy too.
All right, so maybe with Mayer.
But we could cook.
Yeah. Or maybe she's a frigid. No, I'm just.
Jesus. Listen, we're going to figure out a way. We're going to get Tay-Tay on this program.
No, I think. I don't know about her orgasm state, but I think she would love us as far as like cooking and hanging out and like entertaining people.
Could you imagine, Jeffy, if Plum Love Foods tonight, our special guest is Taylor Swift, and she's on the fucking show, and we just fucking trample over her every time she talks and just fucking.
I would immediately ask her, Taylor, I don't know if you know, but there's a candle out that smells like a vagina, and I think that your vagina probably smells much better, and if we could just get one dipstick and go from there, I think we can market this.
Oh my God.
It's for science.
It's for science. I'm sure it's like bergamot and chamomile.
No, that's what's-her-face. It can't. All vaginas don't smell like that.
No, Taylor Swift's vagina is gonna smell like cotton candy and like pink lipstick.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking bubblegum scent. I don't know why.
Yeah, like, no, that's, yeah, right
math,
on, right
homework
on.
And teenage angst?
Ugh. You make me feel terrible. I have a teenager. I feel like an awful person saying this.
Well, we're going to figure that part out. But then we got to the kind of music I'm listening to. And like I said, I'm doing a lot of Clutch. And I'm doing a lot of Body Count these days. And when Jeffy was with me last Thursday night, I'm playing Body Count for him. And he was like, dude, this is a little bit crazy.
No, listen. I love Body Count. I love original Suicidal Tendencies. You actually lit me up on some old school Suicidal Tendencies.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of hip hop. I like grimy hip hop. I like a lot of Philly hip hop too. Shout out to Dave over here in Philly, who I'm sure he loves a little Philly hip hop.
Grimy hip hop. What are you listening to over there?
I like Cracking Guns. So I like Nems from out in Coney Island. You know Nems Gutter from. Coney Island, you know who that is?
That's not Philly, though.
I don't.
And out in Philly, Gilly the Kid from Philly, he's the man. That from you Philadelphia. Yeah, he drops bars and 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 bars.
Damn. Jeffy's got some.
So what's normal for like a kitchen? Like when you guys are at work, like what's normal for the kitchen in there? And who controls it? Who controls the radio in the kitchen?
Daddy always controls the radio. What do you mean?
Yeah, it's me.
And I guess whoever owns the kitchen is daddy. So if my boss comes in and he's like, yo, what is this hip-hop shit? We're going to listen to Fleetwood Mac. Well, you know what, man? I'm going down with some Fleetwood Mac. I'm over here, you know, swaying.
I'm going to stop thinking about tomorrow.
Nah, man, I want to get paid. So, you know, shit goes there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Plum was abducted by aliens and he's probably doing bust stuff.
No, so, guys, I apologize. We actually lost the program for a second. My power flickered as well here from the storm. So we just had
the storm across the sound.
Had to do a little reset there. So we'll probably wrap this guy up. I'll have to do some editing and post to put these two together. But, yeah, a little storm issue. But, I mean, that's the fun part about a kitchen, man. All kinds of different types of music, right? This has gone on too long now. Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you guys next week here on Plum Love Foods Live. For Chef Jeff, for the one, the only FPO food porn unicorn, I'm Chef Plum, and we'll see you guys real soon. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give the time it deserves and play the right outro music. There we go. Let's make sure we give the time it deserves. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, fellas.
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.